Driving Eureka, Problem Solving with Data-Driven Methods and the Innovation Engineering System. This is an abridged audio mini-book narrated by the author, Doug Hall. Introduction. The aim of this book is to teach you how to create a meaningful difference with your career, team, and organization. This is accomplished through the Innovation Engineering System for thinking smarter, faster, and more creatively. Now, the need to think smarter, faster, and more creatively is broadly accepted in today's fast-changing world. What is not understood, however, is how to do it. Innovation engineering teaches you and everyone you work with how to problem solve, how to discover fresh ideas, and more importantly, how to turn them into reality more successfully. Or said more bluntly, how to find, filter, and fast-track big ideas. Innovation engineering is a new field of academic study and management science. It reimagines how change is led, managed, and delivered. It does this by applying the science of system thinking to innovation. It accelerates the creation and development of more profitable and successful products and services. However, new products and services are just 10% of the innovation opportunity. 90% of the innovation opportunity lies in the creation of ideas for working smarter in your personal and professional lives. What makes innovation engineering reliable is that it's grounded in data, backed by academic theory, and validated in real-world practice. Collectively, it's the number one documented innovation system on Earth. Over 35,000 people have been educated in innovation engineering classes, and over $16 billion in growth and system improvement projects are in active development. Systems that enable instead of control. Now, the word system, especially in connection with innovation, creates a vision of being controlled, constrained, and restricted. This is not the purpose of innovation engineering systems. We design and develop systems that enable innovation. Enabling innovation, instead of controlling it, increases innovation speed and decreases risk. Note, we're talking enabling, not simply empowerment. Empowerment gives people authority to change. However, this has no impact if people don't know where to innovate, why to innovate, and the all-important how to innovate. Enabling is about providing training, tools, and coaching so to make innovation practical, possible, and easy. Innovation engineering is grounded in the work of Dr. W. Edwards Deming that he made famous in Japan following World War II. Dr. Deming found that 94% of problems are due to systems, 6% are caused by the worker. We've learned that it's the same with innovation. With innovation, systems include work systems, tools, and importantly, fundamental thinking systems. Dr. Deming was a tireless advocate for enabling workers to have pride of work. As he wrote, quote, "A bad system will beat a good person every time. A basic principle presumed here is that no one should be blamed or penalized for performance that he cannot govern. Violation of this principle can only lead to frustration and dissatisfaction with the job." Chapter 1, Problem. Innovation is no longer optional. Today, those organizations that are leading change in their industries are winning. Those that are reacting to the forces of change are losing. In the past, there was little urgency to change what we offer or how we work. It was in fact possible to create a for-profit or non-profit company based on an innovative service or product and to market it to the same customers for years. In the past, it was even possible to succeed with an inferior product or service in your region. The internet has changed everything. Today, customers have the ability to know more about what alternatives exist around the world. Innovation requires a flip of mindset. It is rare that anyone loves their existing innovation system. Despite what some may think, no one gets up in the morning and says, "I love to work in an inefficient bureaucracy." Rather, they feel they have no choice because they don't feel they can change the system. They follow the rules of the system because, frankly, They see that as less painful than trying to work outside the system. What's ironic is that many companies are addicted to cost-cutting. However, there's probably no greater waste of time, greater waste of energy, and greater waste of money than the inefficiencies in existing work systems. In particular, systems for problem-solving and creating fresh ideas. Instead of embracing never-ending change, change is seen as suspect and subjected to endless rounds of analysis paralysis. Upgrading an innovation system requires a flip of mindset. It requires a focus on the systems of thinking and work instead of a search for so-called creative gurus. It requires an acceptance of the basic Deming learning stated earlier that 94% of innovation challenges lie in the system and 6% are the result of the worker. Chapter 2, Solution, System-Driven Innovation. The innovation engineering movement defines a system as Dr. Deming did, two or more independent parts with a common aim. In the case of an organization, parts means two or more departments that work together toward a common organizational mission. Sadly, the average organization collectively realizes less than the sum of their parts. They realize less than what each department delivers independently. Good organizations are the sum of their parts. They realize an additive impact from the interactions of their departments. There is cooperation and collaboration between departments. Great organizations are the product of their parts. They realize a multiplicative impact from the interactions of their departments. Employees anticipate customer needs and the needs of other departments. Good organizations problem-solve challenges when they arise. Great organizations anticipate issues and proactively innovate to take advantage of opportunities, lead market change, and to prevent problems from developing. The Innovation Engineering Curriculum. With the support of the innovation engineering pioneers, a full body of knowledge was defined that was both academically rigorous and industry relevant. 48 critical innovation skills were defined, each with 2 to 4 sub-skills. Importantly, the skills and sub-skills are continuously upgraded as we learn new methods for helping students both on and off campus find, filter, and fast-track big ideas. Today, 6 courses are taught at colleges and universities. 1, Fundamentals. 2, Advanced Create. 3, Advanced Communicate. 4, Advanced Commercialize. 5, System-Driven Leadership. And 6, Innovation Engineering Experience. Upon completing all classes on campus, students graduate with an Innovation Engineering minor or a graduate certificate, as well as certification as an Innovation Engineering Black Belt. Off campus, frontline employees, managers, and executives are taught the same content as on campus, but in a compressed format that integrates learning with direct application to their real-world work. There are 2 certification programs. Innovation Engineering Blue Belt enables fundamental understanding and the application of the learning mindset on your sphere of influence. Innovation Engineering Black Belt enables mastery of the innovation engineering system-driven innovation mindset. It enables you to lead very important projects and to teach others. To ensure student success with implementation, 2 internet portals, innovationengineeringlabs.com and ThinkStormer, help students increase innovation speed while decreasing risk. ThinkStormer is designed for individual use. IE Labs, as it's known, is for accelerating project management with teams. Chapter 3, Innovation Agreement. As we embarked on bringing systems thinking to the world of innovation, we made a major mistake. We assumed that everyone understood what innovation was and why it was important. Sadly, they didn't. A study we ran found that 7 out of 10 managers don't agree there is a need for their organization to innovate, and that 8 out of 10 managers saw no urgency for their organization to innovate. To address this lack of agreement and urgency to innovate, we implemented a program of beginning all of our conversations and classes with a discussion on what is an innovation and why to innovate. What is an innovation? The innovation engineering community's definition of innovation is precise: meaningfully unique. Meaningful in that it has obvious value to the customers. That is, the idea is so meaningful, customers would willingly give up their existing behaviors for it. Importantly, it is also instantly understandable as to why should I, the customer, care. Unique in that it is a genuine original. It's a non-obvious leap that doesn't exist in the world. Often, it offers a quantifiable advantage, such as you can put a number on how much better it is versus the existing alternative, if there is one. How to evaluate if your innovation is meaningfully unique. The simple way to identify if your product or service is innovative is to ask the question, are customers willing to pay more money for it? No customer wants to pay more money for anything. If they are willing to pay a premium, then the offering must be both meaningful and unique. For system improvements or nonprofit causes, the equivalent question is, does the innovation offer a value that is so meaningful and unique that other stakeholders, be they departments, employees, partners, are willing to invest their time, energy, and money into it? As detailed in the Driving Eureka book, and as validated by published academic research, you can quantitatively assess the meaningful uniqueness of your idea by asking potential users, customers, and/or stakeholders to rate your idea on purchase intent, that is meaningfulness, and new and different, that is uniqueness, then weighting them 60-40. Meaningful uniqueness creates a chain reaction of positives. Marketplace studies find that ideas that are more meaningfully unique increase sales from both new and established customers. Tracking studies also confirm that in addition to higher rates of customer trial, ideas that are meaningfully unique versus competitors also generate higher awareness, word of mouth, and repeat purchase rates. Now, we group new innovations into two types: VIO, or very important opportunities, and VIS, or very important systems. Very important opportunities are ideas for growing sales and/or profitability from new or current customers. Very important systems are innovations for working smarter. They are usually internally focused on improving cost savings, performance, quality, or productivity. We define two levels of innovations, core and leap. Core innovations are incremental improvements. Leap innovations are disruptive ideas that transform the direction of your career and company. Innovation engineering teaches distinct methods and systems for accelerating core and leap projects. Chapter 4, Innovation System. It is very frustrating to be the leader of a department, division, or company and not be optimistic or confident in your organization's ability to innovate. Or said another way, to not feel confident that your strategic plan can be successfully executed. When leaders don't believe that the people in their organization can innovate, they usually blame their people, not the innovation systems. The truth is that most innovation capability challenges are the result of a poor system, not poor workers. It is rare that workers consciously create failure. The desire to make a difference is core to the human spirit. Everyone has a personal desire to make a difference, to work smarter, and to improve their future. The problem is they don't know how. The power of a great system. When the culture believes in its system for innovation, a chain reaction of positives occur. Bold ideas are encouraged and enabled. Problems are seen as opportunities for reinvention instead of frustration. Rapid cycles of experimentation are the norm, and collaboration is embraced. The old worldview of innovation systems was about control. The new worldview is about enabling everyone everywhere to innovate successfully. The father of the Toyota manufacturing system said it this way, quote, "Brilliant process management is our strategy. We get brilliant results from average people managing brilliant processes. We observe that our competitors often get average or worse results from brilliant people managing broken processes. Bureaucracy busting, a four-step antidote for ending your suffering. On campus, we teach the four principles of Dr. Deming's System of Profound Knowledge as a semester-long course entitled System-Driven Leadership. The principles are independently valuable. However, together, they form a simple four-step process for diagnosing and improving any system. Step one, appreciation for a system. This starts with recognizing that your challenge is a system of interconnected parts. It continues with making the system, its aim, key stakeholders, key metric, and enabling metrics visible. Step two, knowledge about variation. With our system made visible in step one, we now identify areas of high variance caused by the system itself, or common cause errors as they are called. Everything has variation. People have variation. Projects have variation. The key is to identify and separate the 94% that are common cause or system variances versus the 6% that are special cause or people-focused variances. Step three, psychology. Having made the system visible and identified areas of high common cause variance, we next identify areas of negative psychology. Positive psychology dimensions are motivating to those involved in the system. Negative psychology dimensions are demotivating. The most powerful psychological tool for enabling innovation is to leverage intrinsic as opposed to extrinsic motivations. Intrinsic motivations include a sense of purpose, pride in work, and personal engagement. These are the most powerful drivers of positive psychology. Extrinsic motivators include intimidating people into innovating or bribing them to think creatively. If these approaches work, they only work for a short time. Over 100 years of academic research finds that intrinsic motivation is far more powerful. Intrinsic motivation means that those who innovate do so because of an internal belief that the new idea or method is meaningful to them. Intrinsic motivation is a key reason why entrepreneurs are up to 10 times more successful with innovations than large companies. That's 50% success versus 5%. Step four, theory of knowledge. Having made the system visible and identified areas of variance and of negative psychology, we now seek to improve the system. We take an action to reduce variation or to remove negative psychology impacts. The action is done using a disciplined approach known as the Deming cycle. It's a version of the scientific method that is also known as a cycle of learning, plan, do, study, act, or PDSA, or in the irreverent way of innovation engineering black belts, it's called fail fast, fail cheap, cycles of learning. Chapter 5, the three innovation principles. Research finds that three principles drive the discovery and successful development of meaningfully unique innovations. Together, they make up a very simple equation. Meaningfully unique equals stimulus raised exponentially by the level of diversity. This is divided by the level of fear. Basically, the quantity of meaningfully unique ideas you create comes from the level of stimulus you bring to your challenge, impacted exponentially by the diversity of people reacting to your stimulus. This level of ideas is constrained by your level of fear. The greater the fear you and those you are working with feel, the lower the number of meaningfully unique solutions and ideas generated. Now let's review stimulus, diversity, and fear step by step. Explore stimulus. The old approach to creating ideas is called brainstorming. However, it's usually more like brain draining, as ideas are sucked from the brain. The new approach is to systematically use stimuli to spark ideas. The stimuli can be related to the challenge, such as customer problem survey results, new technologies, or competitive actions. Or it can be unrelated, such as analogies, visualizations, and cultural excursions. The stimuli set off a chain reaction in your brain that sparks fresh ideas. It's a step-by-step process. Prior to creating ideas, we do what we call stimulus mining. Stimulus mining involves gathering facts, insights, and inputs that can open the mind. The six stimulus mining areas are wisdom mining, patent mining, market mining, insight mining, future mining, and unrelated mining. Leverage diversity. Stimulus sparks a reaction that creates fresh ideas. Diversity is the fuel that amplifies those ideas from good to meaningfully unique. The greater the diversity of opinions, the more effective you will be in not only at creating ideas, but also at problem solving and making your ideas real. No matter what your challenge, there is someone inside or outside your organization that can help you think faster, smarter, and more creatively. Drive out fear. Stimulus and diversity ignite ideas that are meaningfully unique, but they come alive only in proportion to the extent that you are able to drive out fear. Fear directly destroys the ability of individuals and cultures to discover, develop, and deliver ideas that are meaningfully unique. Research finds that as fear increases, the number of big ideas generated decreases. We drive out fear by defining our idea on paper, using a structured problem, promise, proof approach, as detailed later. We drive out fear by using quantitative, rapid research to bring factual data to our thinking. And most important of all, we drive out fear through adopting an experimentation mindset of plan, do, study, act, or fail fast, fail cheap cycles of learning. A system mindset, exploring stimulus, leveraging diversity, and driving out fear are simple principles. Their application is anything but. To develop them as a new mindset across the culture and to build confidence in them takes education and repetition. Chapter 6, Learning Mindset, Create System. The innovation engineering course titled CREATE should be called Create, Problem Solve, and Recreate. That's because for successful innovations, 10% of a project's creativity is used to spark the starting idea. The remaining 90% is used to problem solve, pivot, and reinvent the initial idea as it becomes reality. Thomas Edison felt the ratio was even higher. He famously said, "Genius is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration." The hard way to create ideas is what I call brain draining. You sit in a room by yourself or with others and attempt to suck ideas from your mind. You think and you think, trying to discover ideas to solve your challenge. It's called brainstorming, but it's actually brain draining. The smart way to create is the stimulus response method. With stimulus response, you feed your brain stimulus, sights, sounds, learning, facts. Then your brain reacts off the stimulus to create meaningfully unique ideas. Stimulus serves as a spark for ideas. It sets off a chain reaction of idea associations and creations. And from these new connections, new ideas are then identified. A stimulus can take many forms, from sights and sounds to scents to customer data and firsthand experiences. Diversity of perspectives multiplies the sparks from the stimulus through the different ways that each person perceives and interprets the stimulus. And to be honest, those who society considers to be creative geniuses are simply those who have a curiosity to explore stimulus, and an openness to free associate on what their curiosity journey brings them. Stimulus mining. Stimulus can be gathered from a random walk, gathering sights, sounds, and perceptions. It can also be gathered through the disciplined stimulus mining approach. Stimulus mining is so important that we spend nearly half of the Innovation Engineering CREATE course on it. It's a disciplined process of gathering facts, insights, sights, sounds, and even ideas that we mix, match, and frankly, rearrange into fresh stimulus to spark fresh ideas. Stimulus mining depth. There are three levels of stimulus mining: exploring, experiencing, and experimenting. Exploring is the gathering of the facts, data, and findings. Experiencing is about taking a deep dive into your object of inquiry. It's about seeing, feeling, experiencing your situation firsthand. Experimenting involves fail fast, fail cheap experiments that push the edges of known thinking. Stimulus mining breadth. There are 6 forms of stimulus mining. They're organized into 3 groups: classic mining, tech mining, and stretch mining. Classic mining involves customer insight and competitive market mining. Tech mining includes academic wisdom and patent mining. And lastly, stretch mining includes future and unrelated mining. Of these 3 areas, classic stimulus mining is the most common method most companies use when creating ideas today. Insight and market mining is ideal for the generation of incremental core innovations. Tech mining is arguably the most useful and reliable stimulus mining when looking for bold and brave leap ideas. It includes patent mining, where patents serve as invention blueprints for sparking disruptive ideas. Tech mining also includes wisdom mining. Wisdom mining is exploring the leading edge of research and development published in academic journals and being done at universities and in federal research labs. Stretch mining creates the most disruptive, mind-altering ideas. It includes future mining, using scenarios that could, not necessarily will, but that could occur in the future. It also includes unrelated mining, where forced association is used to connect your challenge with ideas outside of your object of inquiry. Stretch mining generates fewer ideas, but those you get are genuinely off the charts on originality. Leveraging diversity. The most effective method for processing the stimulus into ideas is to gather with others to leverage their unique points of view on the stimulus. The gathering can be a short idea-focused create session or a multi-day accelerator session where rapid cycles of creation and evaluation are used to find, filter, and fast-track big ideas. Diversity has an exponential impact on the number of high-quality ideas you create. If one brain looks at one stimulus and creates 5 ideas, then 2 brains looking at the same stimulus can create not 5, but rather 25 ideas. That's what the research indicates, and it's also the reality from our personal experience. Stimulus sharing methods. Stimulus can be shared informally, reviewing a few findings, then as a group, free associating on the ideas that are sparked by the stimulus. Each perception by every group member becomes an additional piece of stimulus. More formally, stimulus can be shared using what are called spark decks. These are presentations of ideas, images, video, or audio that are presented using PowerPoint or keynote slides. From experience, we've developed a very disciplined slide format that contains disruptive and divergent components. The left side of a slide communicates a disruptive fact or insight, the purpose being to create a stimulus response disruption to thinking, or a lateral thinking effect, as taught by Dr. De Bono. The right side of the slide contains divergent prompts, such as what-if scenarios, and alternate views on the disruptive elements. These divergent prompts serve as nudges that spark the creative thinking process. Innovation is a journey. To become really great at creating ideas, you need to see the process as a journey. If you believe that your first idea needs to be brilliant, you'll never be a great innovator. The notion that you create great ideas by first creating lots of bad ones is a fundamental mindset that you must embrace. Perfect, no risk, mega disruptive ideas are never invented in one pass. All first ideas, no matter how great you feel they are, have flaws. All ideas go through plan, do, study, act cycles of learning, reinvention, reinvention, and reinvention on their way to becoming awesome. Chapter 7, Learning Mindset, Communicate System. The Communicate course teaches you how to write a clear and complete description of your innovation from the point of view of your customer or stakeholders in the case of system innovations. We call this piece of writing a concept. Commonly, it's about 50 to 100 words. It can be longer, but it's rarely more than 300 words. It's a blueprint of your idea. It's your manifesto for change. Now, a concept is not advertising, but it provides a framework for your advertising communications. A concept is not a business plan, but it gives purpose to your business plan. A concept is not an R&D brief, but it provides clarity on what is being developed, who it's for, and why it matters. A great concept description communicates with clarity the meaningful uniqueness that your idea offers to customers. Now, the concept description always changes and gets better and better during the development process as you learn more. A system for clearly defining innovation concepts. Over the past 35 plus years, I've tried hundreds of different formats for defining ideas. In my earlier books, I talked about defining target audience, overt benefit, real reason to believe, and dramatic difference. With innovation engineering, we simplified this to customer, problem, promise, and proof. Simplifying the language has made it easier to enable everyone everywhere to communicate ideas persuasively. The Yellow Card, a framework for clearly communicating innovations. The innovation engineering framework for communicating ideas is called the Yellow Card. It's a two-sided card that makes it easy for anyone to understand an idea. Here's a quick overview of each element of a Yellow Card. Name. An innovation needs a name. When it has a name, it becomes real. Ideally, it is a name that is suggestive of the meaningful uniqueness that your innovation promises to potential customers or stakeholders. Headline. This is a simple statement of the meaningful uniqueness that your innovation offers. It's the new news your idea offers. It states clearly why a customer should be excited about your idea. Customer or stakeholder. This is the who that your innovation serves. With new or improved products or services, it's the customer who is the final decision maker for purchasing. With internal system innovations, it's the stakeholders who are engaged and involved with the system. Problem. All successful innovations solve a customer problem. The problem can be a complaint, a frustration, or a wish for a better way to accomplish something. When your innovation solves a problem, you have a meaningful benefit promise. When your innovation solves a problem for which there is no good solution, you have a meaningfully unique benefit promise. The customer problem your innovation solves is the purpose of your innovation. Problems create a tension that motivates change. Problems motivate you and your team to find solutions. Benefit promise. This is your specific promise to solve the specific problem that your customer has. Customers get excited and take notice of your product or service offering when it promises to solve a problem that they face. The benefit promise answers the customer question, why should I care? You don't need to be fancy, flowery, or clever with your words to win customers. Simply telling customers in a direct and easy to understand manner what you can do for them is all you need to do. Now, a classic error innovators make with benefit promise is to mistake features for benefits. Benefits are what's in it for the customer. A benefit is what your customer receives, enjoys, and/or experiences in exchange for investing their time, trouble, trust, and/or money. Features are the facts, figures, technology, and details that make up your product or service. Product or service proof. This is a clear and easy to understand description of what your product, service, or system innovation is and how your unique approach makes it possible for you to deliver on your promise. Benefit promise gets customers excited. Proof helps you close the sale by providing the customer or stakeholder with the confidence that you will deliver on your benefit promise. Proof is even more important in today's overhyped world. Confidence in marketing promises is at an all-time low. The consumer research firm Yankelovich found that 93% of consumers do not have confidence in the advertising messages of major corporations. Sadly, analysis finds that only 20% of concepts offer product or service proof. That leaves 80% that don't. Is it a coincidence that just over 80% of all new products and services fail? Price. Price defines the cost the customer pays to receive the benefits promised. The price you set relative to alternative options is a clear indication of how meaningfully unique you anticipate your innovation will be. Passion. This is your statement of higher order purpose. It gives clarity on why you care enough about this idea to dig into patents, do problem solving, and to address death threats, no matter how painful they may be. It's your intrinsic motivation for the journey. This is Deming's system of profound knowledge, point three, psychology. Death threats. This portion of the yellow card is about confronting the reality of the challenges that the innovation faces. Because frankly, ideas that are meaningfully unique are by definition different from what has been done in the past. And so they're going to have issues. The goal here is to acknowledge, not resolve, the challenges. Solutions will come through cycles of learning and pivoting. What's most important is that we be honest with ourselves and with others about the challenges we see with our idea. Lastly, invention sketch or math game plan. This is a space for creating the first drawing of the invention. It starts the process of evaluating the potential for patenting your idea. The math game plan is a rough estimate of the benefit to the organization of the innovation. It can be an estimate of sales, profits, savings, efficiency improvement, etc. The estimate is a back-of-the-envelope estimate that provides a starting point for plan, do, study, act cycles of learning. Math game plan, the gas pedal for change. Math game plan is a forecast of what impact the concept is estimated to have. It's what the organization will realize as a result of pursuing the yellow card. It can take many forms. Common math game plans include estimates of sales growth, fundraising revenue, or cost savings from a system innovation. Math game plan brings the customer, problem, promise, and proof to life. It's a first theory or a game plan on how the innovation will become real. This first estimate, just like customer, problem, promise, proof, has a high level of variance and error. So we use it as a starting place for plan, do, study, act cycles of learning to reduce variation and error. The problem with doing the math early in the development process is making estimates when there is high uncertainty. Fortunately, there are validated and proven systems for estimating when you have little information. The math section of the innovation engineering courses is one of the most important topic areas. Here's one example of the math methods taught in the Driving Eureka book, Fermi estimating. Fermi estimating is a method for estimating when there is high uncertainty. It's based on a methodology developed by Nobel Prize winner Enrico Fermi. In simple terms, it's a disciplined back-of-the-envelope estimate. It involves breaking your challenge into elements that you can easily estimate. Fermi estimates are first estimates. They have high variance and uncertainty, but are invaluable in providing focus to commercialization efforts. As statistician George Box said, quote, "All models are wrong, some are useful." The elements that make up your first estimate that have the highest variation or uncertainty are where you start your plan, do, study, act cycles of learning. With each cycle of learning, be it calibration, benchmarking, or experimentation, you reduce variation in your estimate. Great thinkers are great writers. Writing is hard because thinking is hard. Communicating your innovation as a clear concept involves thinking deeply about it. When your team, organization, and customers can understand the idea as you do, an energy is developed in support of your ideas. This energy fuels the commercialization journey, the subject of the next chapter. Chapter 8, Learning Mindset, Commercialized System. Does your innovation development system increase or decrease the value of ideas? Sitting in the great room at the Eureka Ranch are 10 top executives from one of the world's largest companies. They need help accelerating the discovery and development of disruptive leap innovations. I start with a simple question. What happens to the value of an innovation as it goes through your development system? Does the value that is the sales forecast for the project go up, down, or stay the same? There's an awkward silence. Then the chief technology officer speaks. I know the answer. We did a study and found that when ideas come out of development, they're worth a little less than half what they were worth when they went into development. So your system for innovation development, I responded with a smile, is actually a system for managing the decline of ideas. The system's like hospice, it's palliative care. You're managing the decline and, frankly, death of ideas. There's a nervous laugh in the room as I set the vision for what is possible. Now, imagine if instead of declining by 50%, your system made them grow by 28%. That is what the innovation engineering approach delivers during commercialization. The secret to growing 28% versus declining by 50% is a shift of mindset from command and control to one of never-ending innovation and learning. And never-ending learning is not random. Rather, it's realized through disciplined Plan, Do, Study, Act, or PDSA cycles of learning. PDSA project management increases innovation speed and decreases risk. It provides a structure for learning, pivoting, and adapting to the changing world. It allows organizations to change faster than the marketplace is changing. When the PDSA method and mindset is embraced, success is a certainty. The only thing we can't predict is how many PDSA learning cycles will be required. Now, a learning mindset requires humbleness. It requires a willingness to admit, I don't know. And this can be terrifying for adults who have mistakenly connected their sense of self-worth with knowing all the answers. In days past, this might be reasonable. But today, with the spread of technological and marketplace change, it's just not possible to know everything. Plan, Do, Study, Act amplifies learning efficacy. Plan, Do, Study, Act reduces waste and randomness during the development process. Next, I'm going to go through the four steps one at a time. Plan starts the process with a clear definition of the goal. It defines what success looks like for the specific milestone or challenge you are focused on as you develop the innovation you defined on your yellow card. It could be a concept score with customers, a technical performance level, or a qualitative result, such as the approval of your organization's regulatory department to your new product design. Significant challenges are called death threats, as in it's a death threat to the project succeeding. The name death threat provides emotional intensity that matches the fear that people feel when facing the level of unknowns that are inherent in meaningfully unique innovations. The term also enables you to have honest conversations about critical issues without igniting defensiveness. Instead of saying, your idea can't work, you say, there could be a possible death threat with this idea. By defining the challenge as an it, that is a death threat, We move it to the less confrontational third person instead of the more personal first person I or second person you. Do. Do is your theory of what actions will help you achieve the success standard articulated in plan to make your yellow card innovation real. It can be a specific piece of work, an activity, or an experiment. To increase speed, we break achieving the plan into small, fast, and cheap learning cycles. By taking on achieving the plan one bite at a time, we build momentum and maintain the ability to pivot based on new learning. Study. Study is about thinking deeply about what has been learned during the do activities relative to the plan. Why did the activity not result in success? And just as importantly, why did the activity achieve the desired outcome? Frankly, the most important of the four elements of PDSA is study. This is where the real learning occurs. Note, in many Japanese quality systems, the Deming cycle is labeled PDCA, or Plan, Do, Check, Act. Having lived through thousands of cycles of learning, I've come to realize that check versus study is the difference that matters. Check is tactical. It's about ticking the box. Study is learning. It's about thinking deeply. It ignites new understanding and discoveries. Act. Act is about deciding where the project should go next based on what has been learned. The Driving Eureka book covers best practices on how to run projects, as well as details on key project roles and key success factors. Chapter 9, Alignment Subsystem. Improving alignment between strategy and projects is the single most impactful thing you can do as a leader of a project, division, or company to improve your innovation success rates. To develop the Innovation Engineering Alignment System, we ran lots of experiments. As we did our stimulus mining, we learned that we were reinventing something that the military of the USA, Canada, and all NATO countries had already created. A United States Marine explained it to me this way, quote, "Years ago, the military was focused on instant, willing obedience to orders. Today, we give the mission and explain why. When the troops know the mission and why it's important, we leverage their skills and knowledge. Instant, willing obedience to orders is not fun. It's slavery. It turns employees into zombies. It creates disengagement between employees and the work. Today, the military enables the troops to both think and do. They call it commander's intent." Quote, "Commander's intent is defined as a clear and concise expression of the purpose of the operation and the desired end state that supports mission command, provides focus to the staff, and helps subordinate and supporting commanders act to achieve the commander's desired result without further order, even when the operation does not unfold as planned." To distill commander's intent into a simple statement, quote, "In the absence of further orders, you would know what to do," end quote. Within innovation engineering, commander's intent, strategic alignment, is generated using what is called a blue card. The blue card provides guidance to teams as they create and develop yellow card projects. Blue cards contain some very simple elements. Scope. The card starts with simple yes-no questions that define the project mission. Is it focused on a very important opportunity for growth or an internal system improvement? Are you looking for disruptive leap innovations or more incremental core improvements? And is it a long-term strategic blue card or a project-specific blue card? Name. The blue card name gives clarity and focus to the project. Ideally, it's suggestive of the strategic mission. Narrative. The narrative describes in simple language why it is very important that those working on the blue card invest their time and energy on it. Just as in the military, the narrative is written personally by the leader of the project, division, or company. It cannot be outsourced to others. Only the leader has the breadth of understanding to craft the precise words that define the project narrative. Strategic mission. The mission completes the simple statement, we need ideas for blank. Great mission statements make choices that provide focus. They give direction, but not a prescription. You see, missions that are vague result in wasted effort, and missions that are prescriptive waste the creative energy of those working on the project. Boundaries. These define the scope of the project. They provide rules of engagement to employees. Boundaries are both strategic and tactical. There are strategic exclusions. These define what kind of ideas we are not looking for. And tactical constraints. These provide clarity on tactical issues. They can include minimum sales goals, test standards, investment rules, and timing expectations. In an ideal implementation, the organization's blue cards lay out a clear, complete, and motivating vision for the organization. They set organizational priorities, and they make it easy for everyone to understand where leadership is leading the organization to. The organization's blue cards cascade through the organization's divisions and departments. Each of these subordinate blue cards defines how that division or department helps the organization achieve the overall organizational blue cards. Chapter 10, Collaboration Cafe Subsystem. Collaboration leverages the exponential power of diversity. Given a choice between hiring a creative guru or developing a network of internal collaborators, it's a no-brainer. The internal network is far more effective. The guru has but one mind. The internal collaborator can leverage the diversity of dozens, hundreds, thousands, or more to problem-solve challenges. Now, in theory, collaboration should be easy. Cooperating with others is something we all learned in preschool. However, somewhere along the way to adulthood, especially in organizations, it became more difficult. Research we conducted with over 12,000 employees found that 95% didn't feel their organization collaborated very well. Employees who are aligned to a common strategic mission, that is a blue card, and who trust their teammates realize joy from their work. They have the courage to tackle ideas and challenges that individually they would view as impossible. I can't is replaced with we can. The Innovation Engineering Institute invests significant time, energy, and money in never-ending continuous improvements of the Collaboration Cafe digital platform inside ielabs.com. The system is designed to address the 10 psychological and operational barriers and boosters to collaboration. An example of one of these is idea competitions kill collaboration. Academic research, in our experience, finds that idea competitions kill collaboration. When ideas are judged with prizes for best idea, the intrinsic motivation to share ideas and advice is replaced with extrinsic rewards. And this may work once or twice, but soon no one makes suggestions. It doesn't matter if you evaluate using a team of experts or crowdsourcing of the vote. The result is the same. I mean, just think about it. If you have 1,000 entries in your idea beauty pageant, you end up with one winner and 999 losers. What do you think the odds are that one of the losers will submit the next time you ask for ideas? Now you understand a key reason why old-fashioned or new digital suggestion box contests rarely go beyond 2 or 3 rounds. Chapter 11, Merwin Rapid Research Subsystem. Rapid research builds our courage to innovate. Real feedback gives us courage to be bold. Rapid research drives teamwork. Fact-based decisions create consensus and alignment. Rapid research makes us smarter. Data enables smarter decisions that reduce risk. Rapid research dissolves politics. Truth conquers ego-driven opinion. Rapid research energizes. Confirmation that ideas are truly meaningfully unique ignites passion. Our initial idea for innovations are theories of what might work. Rapid research helps us transform those theories into successful realities. Rapid research is usually conducted with the customer for the innovation. In the case of products or services, the customer is often one of the buyers of our offering. In the case of internal system innovations, the customer is often the stakeholders who are impacted by the new system. Conservative companies invest time and energy in quantitative research. Leaders and managers at conservative companies understand that innovation has risk. They also understand that with risk comes reward. Research finds that the more new and different an idea is, the greater the risk of failure, as well as the opportunity for reward. Fortunately, with rapid research, we can reduce risk before we have to make major investments. But sadly, in most organizations, customer research is used as a tool for controlling, not enabling innovation. And when it comes to internal system innovations, it's common for no research to be conducted, especially quantitative research. Now, there are 5 mindset shifts required to get a culture to embrace rapid research. An example of these is more small tests and less big tests. The new mindset involves lots of small, yet still statistically significant, that's key, statistically significant tests as innovations go from idea to reality. This is in contrast to the old approach of months of work, primarily qualitative, leading to a big make or break test. Jim Bengel of Procter & Gamble's R&D department taught me this. He said, quote, "You learn more by running lots of small tests quickly, learning and adapting between each test, than you do by running big, slow, and expensive tests." Designing for faster speed and lower cost. Most market research systems were created in an era of paper and pencil questionnaires and manual data analysis. When the digital world arrived, the old systems were translated to the digital world. The Merwin Rapid Research platform inside innovationengineeringlabs.com takes advantage of artificial intelligence technologies that are enabled by the digital world. Smart technology drives down the cost and time required for quantitative research by up to 95%. And as cost and timing go down, you have greater courage to run more experiments. And when you run more experiments, you find, filter, and fast track more big ideas. Chapter 12, Patent ROI Subsystem. Ideas that are patentable are meaningfully unique innovations. Conversely, when an idea isn't patentable, then by the strictest definition, it is not a meaningfully unique innovation. Patents are the way to wealth in the new world. In the old world of business, physical capital, and assets, the defining measure of wealth was land, buildings, machinery, and inventory. In the new world, intellectual capital, patents, trademarks, copyrights, and trade secrets are the defining measure of wealth. Estimates of the value of these non-tangible assets range from 70 to 80% of the valuation of the average company. Every product, service, or individual exists on a continuum from total commodity to total monopoly. A patent is a legal monopoly that is supported by governments. Governments around the world support patents because innovation has proven to be the most effective way to build jobs and wealth. When you have a monopoly on a meaningfully unique invention, you realize increased sales and profitability. Patents are also an insurance policy for realizing a financial return on your investment in research and development. To give you a sense of the importance of patents, an academic study found that for both small and large companies, those that filed more patents realized a higher profit margin. A separate study by the Innovation Engineering Institute team found that one of the best indicators of a proactive culture within small and mid-sized companies was if they had filed 2 or more patents. The conclusion is simple. Patents matter. Patent Literacy Exam Overview. In the full book and audiobook, I offer a patent literacy exam as a means for getting your attention on some key truths about patents that are often misunderstood. It's a collection of 16 true-false questions. So a score of 50% could be had by guessing. Sadly, business executives don't do much better. On average, they only get 62% correct. Quite simply, there is a need to educate business leaders on how to lead their company's efforts at building value and competitive advantage through patents. There's also a need to teach employees the fundamentals, because every day they are inventing new machines, methods, and tools that have the potential to add value to the organization's intellectual capital. This is so important, we've developed patent workshops to accelerate education and some amazing tools. The new tools enable anyone to write a provisional patent in about an hour and to find distressed and soon-to-be-abandoned flea market patents that can often be purchased for a few thousand dollars in minutes. Chapter 13, How to Create an Innovation Culture. Whenever we teach innovation engineering, it is not long before someone says, okay, Doug, I get it. How do I create an innovation culture in my, you can fill in the blank, team, division, company? Well, my answer is always the same. The initial starting place is always within yourself. You need to believe in your ability to innovate before you can engage others. And the fastest way to do this is to get some education and then start applying the education to your current work. Start by finding, filtering, and fast-tracking ways to work smarter in your current daily work. Kevin Cahill, grandson of Dr. Deming and executive director of the Deming Institute, taught me the importance of starting by focusing on your sphere of influence. To paraphrase from the interview with Kevin in the appendix of the Driving Eureka book, quote, I know my grandfather said quality starts in the boardroom. And I've heard so many people say, well, unless you're at the top, it's not worth doing. I disagree. I believe that every single person in every single organization has some sphere of influence. They can impact something. If they have some understanding of these ideas, some understanding of what the limitations of the system they are currently operating in are, they can make a difference in what they're doing. So here's a four-step quick start to help you get yourself started. Step one, working smarter blue card. Craft a blue card defining a working smarter challenge you face. The mere process of writing the blue card will bring clarity to what your problem is and why it's important to create solutions to solve it. Step two, stimulus mining. With your project mission defined, do some stimulus mining to fill your mind with fresh ideas and insights about your challenge. Step three, create session. Leveraging the perspective of others has an exponential impact on the quantity and quality of ideas created. This can be done in person or virtually via text, email, or using the IE Labs rapid research tools. Alternatively, you can simply walk around and talk to others about your challenge, sharing some of your stimulus findings. The output of this is a collection of yellow cards that define the customer, problem, promise, and proof of your fresh ideas. Step four, PDSA cycles of learning. Make one or more of your yellow card ideas real through rapid cycles of plan, do, study, act to resolve death threats. Run fail fast, fail cheap experiments to develop, validate, and activate your new idea. Voila, you've done it. You've innovated. Now there's still much to learn. However, you've taken the most important step. Now learn more and do it again and again and again. With each cycle, your speed will increase and your confidence will grow. Now getting started is easy on an individual or even a work team level. Changing a department, division, or an organization is more challenging. Obviously, every organization is different, and in fact, the concept of variation is fundamental to the Deming system of profound knowledge. That said, there are some simple lessons that can provide guidance on the process. The book provides 10 lessons. Here's one example. Lesson number 3. Unshakable belief among just 10% of employees ignites cultural change. Over the years, we have observed that focusing energy on developing deep belief among a few people is the best way to create a culture of innovation. Research by scientists at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute confirms this. They reported, quote, when just 10% of an organization holds an unshakable belief, their belief will always be adopted by the majority. Now, they defined unshakable belief as, quote, true believers, people who are completely set in their views and unflappable in modifying those beliefs. You see, basically, culture change follows the Bass diffusion model. Efforts to change the whole at one time rarely sustain. Rather, you need to start with a small, highly committed group. When the group with unshakable belief reaches 10% of the organization, then the new mindset spreads. Unshakable belief only comes, it only comes from hands-on application. To quote American founding father Ben Franklin, tell me and I forget, teach me and I remember, involve me and I learn. With innovation engineering, we develop unshakable belief by educating employees through IE Blue and Black Belt courses. As part of the course certification requirements, they then apply the new mindset and methods on a wave of projects that are within their sphere of influence. And with each success, their confidence builds. Company executives say that what they like best about this application-focused learning approach is that while they are investing in their people and culture, they are simultaneously receiving tangible business benefit from the innovation projects that are being accelerated. It's not uncommon for 10 to 50 projects to be accelerated in a year. Closing thoughts. When you flip to this new mindset of enabling innovation by everyone, everywhere, every day, you unleash amazing potential. A few years ago, I got to spend time with Bill Conway, the retired Fortune 500 CEO who first embraced the work of Dr. Deming. Now, Bill has since passed away. However, I will always remember how our conversation ended. As we stood up, I asked him what advice he had for me as I embarked on the journey to create an innovation systems revolution. He put his hand on my shoulder, looked me straight in the eye, and said, quote, you have to do it. America needs it now. The country is failing because bosses are not doing the right things. Do it now. Do it faster. Have no tolerance for excuses. End quote. Now, Bill said America, but frankly, my friends in Canada, Mexico, Africa, Europe, Asia are all feeling the same urgency. Now is the time. Now is the time to reinvent our community, our company, our country, and the world. The process starts with you. You taking personal responsibility. Now, you're not going to do it right. You won't be perfect, but you will get smarter and smarter with each cycle of learning. And that's how you can and will change your world. When he feels that I'm discouraged, my mentor, Walter Werner, often quotes what Dr. Nelson taught him years ago, quote, you are the best we have, now go do it. So too, it's time for you to just go do it. And by doing, I mean applying what you've learned, and even more importantly, making a personal commitment to never-ending continuous learning. So what are you waiting for? Get up, get out, get going. As Ben Franklin said over 200 years ago, up sluggard and waste not life. In the grave will be sleeping enough. This concludes the abridged version of the Driving Eureka audiobook. For further information, visit DougHall.com or follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Doug Hall Inventor.